was a rumble in the jungle. Once I heard Dad was outside again counting birds, and Mama plugged in a nightlight, and I saw the queen of the world.
Welcome to the Golden Hour Riff Podcast. I am your co-host, Liz.
And I'm your co-host, Natalie, and tonight we have Caitlin on. She is like a family friend, I guess I could say at this point, many different connections. So she is going to share her birth story. Thanks so much for coming on tonight, Caitlin.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. It's been a long time in the making. I've listened to all the episodes. I'm like, I should really agree now.
I'm so happy I got you. But if you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about you and your family.
Yeah, sure. My husband and I had actually known each other since kindergarten. We were in the same kindergarten class. We're both from Jackson, Missouri, which is a smaller town south of St. Louis. We grew up, our parents lived a couple miles from each other. We knew each other in kindergarten. He was the class clown and I was the quiet one, which is funny because it's like pretty much the opposite now. I'm the outgoing one. And he's kind of like, yeah, I'll go if you make me. He and I knew each other early on, but we didn't like date or anything until college. And once we started dating in college, we could kind of tell it was different, it was more serious. And I was actually living in St. Louis at the time. I was pre-med at St. Louis University. And I was kind of like getting these feelings like I didn't want to be a physician anymore. Classes were going fabulously, but I just talked to enough physicians that I didn't think that was like what I wanted for my family life. They just kept stressing all the things that they were missing. And that wasn't, I knew that I was going to want a family someday. And that was what I wanted to prioritize. And I wanted to figure out a way to kind of highlight both of those things, be able to have a family, but also still be able to have a career. And I just felt like everyone that I was talking to, which now that I know more about the medical field, I could have made it work, but I made the decision to transition to nursing. And there's no point in saying St. Louis University prices for me, in my opinion, for me personally, to get a nursing degree when I knew that I had been offered a full ride back home at Southeast Missouri State. So I transferred there. Matt was going there at the time. And so I was basically like, yeah, we can make this work because I'm going to be living in that area. We started dating. And like I said, I'm serious. And we ended up moving in together after school. We both moved to Kansas City for work. I got a job in the ICU there and he worked in sales. Had a job there. It was great. Like we had to build a whole new life together, which really made us kind of grow up fast and realize that if we were going to be each other's forever or not, right? When you're the only person that each other knows, when you move to a whole new town, you're like in your early 20s. So you're like, I have the whole world ahead of me. I'm young and I'm attractive and I have everything to offer. Do I stay with this guy or do I like find somebody new, right? So you know, we figured out that we were the ones for each other. And I did several years in ICU. And then I got into nursing anesthesia school and I got in here in St. Louis. And so I knew I was planning to move back to the St. Louis area to go to school. And he was planning to try to transfer within his company to come back as well. But he was going to be a little bit delayed in getting back. 10 days before I started my program, like 2 days before I left Kansas City, he proposed.
No.
That was beautiful. But it was right like overlooking Union Station at the World War One Memorial. So it was really nice. But I remember being like really just like a little bit peeved that I was like, you're proposing 10 days before I start my doctoral program. Like we've been together for 6.5 years, bro. You can have this so that I could have planned a little bit of a wedding before I just like go straight into this extremely heavy didactic program in which they're like, you shouldn't work. You shouldn't like plan on doing anything but school for the next 36 continuous months. I remember seeing people being like, oh, when are you going to get married the week of the engagement? And I'm like, oh, probably 4 years from now because my program is 3 years and then I'll plan the wedding. And then my mom just basically begged me to, I will plan it. I'll plan most of it for you. Finally, the event. So I was like, that is a really long time to wait. We got married during the program, which I don't recommend to people, but that's what we did.
And what year was it?
That was 2017. So, okay. Yeah, we moved back in 2016, got married, bought a house in 2016, got married in 2017. We have two dog kids. We had two dog kids together for a while before we decided on the real thing. Mm-hmm. When the pandemic hit, I had only been working in my job for, I guess, 7 or 8 months. And that was kind of the point in my life where I'm like, okay, it's like time to start having babies. Like, I have finally finished all the schooling that I will ever need for the rest of my life. I'm 30. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And then the pandemic hit. And my mom was like, you should not get pregnant right now. We don't know what this is going to be like. And part of me was like, yeah, I guess you're right. But I also didn't really want it to hold us back because I already felt like we'd waited so long to that point. So we waited a few months, and then selfishly also, like, I wanted to celebrate my 30th birthday properly, to be able to drink. And we had a big party at Lake of Ozarks with some friends. We stayed in the house. We didn't go out and about during the COVID because it was still very like peak COVID time. So we just rented a house on the lake and then a boat and just kind of hung out as like a small group. And it was a lot of fun. So it was kind of a nice way to bid adieu to our 20s and time to have a child. Then we started trying in August. I say trying very loosely. Like, we stopped caring. We stopped protecting. I'd been off birth control. I'd been on birth control since I was like 19. And I stopped about 6 months before that because I knew we're going to be moving towards that. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to kind of be able to like start tracking cycles and things. So I knew at that point, like, exactly what my cycles looked like. And I'm like, okay, well, let's try not protecting this month. We didn't. And I remember 30 days later getting like all these negative tests and just being like very disappointed because your whole life you're made to believe that you could get pregnant so easily.
Yeah.
So you're like, be careful. And just that 1 month of like negatives, and I had never tried before. So I was like, oh, kind of sad about it. But at the same time, I realized like I had friends that have tried much, much longer. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to get serious about it. I'm going to get some ovulation tests. I'm going to pee on these sticks and figure out how it works. And that worked because we ended up conceiving Isabel the next month. Yeah.
That's awesome. So it was pretty quick.
Yeah, we were very lucky. We were very lucky. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. I was prepared for it to take a long time because, like I said, we've had friends and family members struggle, and that was always in the back of my mind. Don't we? Too long, but we did. We got lucky.
Yeah. It, like, kind of like what Liz was saying, just like how much you put faith in peeing on tests.
Yes, so much.
Urine has never been so important. So what was pregnancy like for you?
It was pretty good. I felt like I had to tell people pretty early because of what I do. There are certain surgical cases. So I guess I should say I am a nurse anesthetist. So I put people to sleep in the operating room for surgeries. I also do OB anesthesia. So I do epidurals, I do C-sections. I feel like on the majority of like birth podcasts, I'm kind of like the enemy because I'm that person that like leads to the cascade of interventions.
Or you're
but
the same.
I only come if you okay, I always come if you want me, I promise.
Yeah. You're my favorite person.
But yeah, but so that's what I do. So there are certain surgical cases that aren't safe, or at least are theorized to be unsafe for pregnant people to be in with a developing fetus. So when they're mixing cement during an ortho case, or massive amount of radiation during like cath lab cases, and just, we just try to limit certain things. So mm-hmm. I felt like I had to tell a couple of my friends pretty early on in the operating room because they would be my secret switch partners. So like if I got put into a bunch of total joints that day and they were like, hey, I saw you're in there, we're going to switch, you can go do, you know, GI today. So I would be doing colonoscopies and EGDs a lot when I was pregnant, but it was fine with me. Because it was keeping Isabel, yeah, named baby girl safe. But so pregnancy, though, it was really not bad. The first trimester was super draining, like super tired. I remember like realizing I was pregnant before I tested positive because I woke up one morning and my breasts were like super tender. And I was like, this is it. I think this is it. And I remember like sitting on the couch that night, like folding laundry. And I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, but I remember just sitting there folding laundry and feeling like all the blood was rushing to my pelvis, like my uterus. And like, it was like, I couldn't even test positive yet. I had tried and it was saying negative. And I was sitting there folding laundry and I looked at my husband and I was like, just so you know, like, I just want you to prepare because I think I'm pregnant. And he was like, well, how do you know you're not like going to start a period? And I was like, I've had 18 years of those. I think I know. Yeah. Like, thank you so much for that advice. But this is different. Whatever, this is different. And he's just like, okay. So then a couple of days later, I finally test positive in the morning before work, before I went to like my running club that I was part of in the morning. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't tell him. I can't tell him now. I don't want to wake him up. So I went to work and, sorry, I guess I'm backtracking to like how I told him.
important info.
I kind of is, but I went to work that day, like going all about my things. And I remember even getting put into a cath lab case and just being like, oh, the radiation. But I refused to let anyone be the first person to know before my husband. I couldn't be like, no, I'm sorry, I can't go there. I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just going to wear all the lead and just strap up and be safe. It'll be fine. I got off work and I went to Schnucks, and there was a little girl at the bakery that was working there. She's a little teenager. And I was like, hi, I need this cookie cake personalized, please. She's like, okay, what would you like it to say? I was like, thanks for knocking me up. And she looked at me like, oh, and I was like, you're the first person in the world to know.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
She was like, this little teenager, just like, okay. And like, I could tell she was like, I really don't want to mess up this handwriting. Like, but yeah, eventually I kind of showed him the cake. I started with, hey, do you know what you want for dinner? And he's like, no, I haven't really thought about it. It's a funny video of it, but. And I was like, well, I think I know what I want for dessert. And he was like, you would know what you want for dessert. I'm definitely just a dessert freak. And he like walked over and I was like, I think I want this. And I like showed him the cake with the little pea stick and some whiskey that I got him because he was drinking for two now. And he was just like, thanks for knocking me out. And he immediately was like doing literally finger math. And I'm like, 9 months from now. You're like, okay. Yeah. That was fast. That happened faster than you expected. I was like, yeah, I did. Because he really wanted a fall baby. And I was like, well, we should start maybe trying sooner because who knows how long that will take. And I was like, I'm sorry, you end up with a June baby, but it'll be okay.
June babies are the best.
Yeah. Are you a June baby?
Yeah.
I thought so. Yep. But yeah, it was good overall. The first trimester, I remember being like so tired all the time. I would come home from work and I would just pass out on the couch at 7:30, 8 o'clock. And I was like, this is not normal, right? This is normal? Okay. I would get nauseous and I was super afraid of having to puke in the OR trash can, like in front of everyone. And then everyone just being like, oh, you're pregnant, aren't you? But that never happened. I would pop these little like ginger mints in my mouth when I would get the wave. And those are great, ladies, if you need something. They're like on Amazon. So like peach ginger. And then there's some mint ones too. But they were great. They were like amazing. I think I only puked like once at all. Because I don't know. It was mostly just nauseous. And then those would really help. Those were great. And second trimester was a breeze. I was like, wow, this is great. I feel good. Mm-hmm. Like I'm getting this bump. Like I feel like kind of sexy. I'm kind of liking this.
Yeah.
Do we have TMI on these?
No.
Okay. Always horny. All the time. My sex drive was the best it's ever been. I'm pretty sure my husband was like, just give me some rest.
Yeah, girl.
It was such a role reversal from like real life. I was like, you should enjoy this while you can, because once my baby's here, it's probably going to be like a long time. Yeah. At the 6 weeks minimum, right? But yeah, we went on a baby moon to the Key West. It was awesome. It was beautiful. Nice reason to travel. And then third trimester was a little uncomfortable here and there. As you get bigger, you're just like stretching, reach for something. And you're like, oh my God, I feel like I just pulled a muscle in my stomach. And I was unlucky enough to what's called vulvar varicosities. I don't know if y'all know what those are.
No.
Like a varicose vein on your labia.
Oh, interesting.
So unfortunate. They were just really uncomfortable. I started wearing, I think they popped up around like 32, 33 weeks. They weren't like horrible. They weren't even uncomfortable at first, but just like any other varicose vein, basically like they're filling with blood the longer you're on your feet. And that pressure of your uterus is like pressing on the veins that allow blood to return to your heart. So it's just the pressure is like building and building the more you're on your feet each day or throughout the day. And I'm on my feet a lot at work. So I was wearing the compression shorts and stuff. They're supposed to help. And I'm just like, oh God. And I remember my OB being like, so just so you know, they're definitely going to come back with every pregnancy now and probably earlier. I'm like, great. Cool. The beauties of motherhood, right?
Yeah, seriously. But,
so yeah, thought I'd include that because I didn't know about their existence and I work in healthcare. Yeah. And so obviously women don't talk about that very much if they know them because they happen in 5 to 10% of pregnancies. So they're happening and people aren't talking about them. So ladies, if it's happening to you, it's okay.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
Wow, I learned something new today.
Yes, yeah. Me too. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of that before.
I feel like women are just now starting to talk about their hemorrhoids.
Yes, yes. And it's kind of like the front version of a hemorrhoid, really, is what it is. It's not like on the opening or anything. It's like on the just skin and stuff, but it's still really uncomfortable. Just, yeah. like pressure all day.
Yeah.
Where are they like, could you see one, two, three, or were they kind of just like everywhere?
I can only see one.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
There's just kind of, if you picture like the big varicose veins that happen on the back of people's legs sometimes, they were not that, it was not that big. But
yeah.
But it, you're all of a sudden, I'm just like, and my stomach was so big that I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
Unless I like got like a mirror and I'm like, yeah. I remember just being like, oh my God, what happened? It's purple vein. So I just remember being like, dear God, what happened? And I was like debating on whether I would tell my husband about it beforehand or just let him be surprised.
Yeah.
And my insecurity is gave in. I was like, I feel like I should warn you before you see this because I don't really want to see your face when you see it unexpectedly. But no, it went away completely afterwards when that pressure is relieved. So it's not an issue anymore, but eventually it will be, I guess.
Yeah. So where you like felt pressure and you were like, weird, I'm going to like look down.
I didn't even feel it at first. I was showering and I was just like cleaning myself and I felt like the swelling of it. And I was like, what is that? And so then, it didn't get comfortable for like uncomfortable. Sorry. It didn't get uncomfortable for several more weeks. And as my baby, like as my belly grew and stuff, and it put more and more pressure on it.
Wow.
Yeah. They're like, you should put your compression shorts on while you're laying down in the morning before you get up to help prevent any pressure from accumulating initially. And I'm like, how? I am 36 weeks pregnant. How are we going to put Spanx on laying down? I guess I'll try better next time, but
yeah.
Yeah. You'd need like someone helping you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get up at 5:30 in the morning before my husband is awake. And I'm going to be like, hey, can you help me put these on?
Yeah. Let's start your day.
Yeah. Start your day right, baby. But yeah. So
are they really tight?
Yeah, they are. And there's even this one strap that I will probably get this upcoming pregnancy, knowing that it will probably happen earlier. And I want to try to prevent it from getting bad as early as possible. It's like this, literally, it's like a Velcro strap that goes around your whole pelvic girdle area. And it's like on Amazon, it's called the V2 support. And it's like, and I remember someone on this like mom page for other CRNAs, and they were like, oh yeah, there is nothing sexier than being at the hospital bathroom and unvelcroing that baby every time you have to go to the bathroom and everyone in the bathroom hearing it. I'm like, that's what I get to look forward to. That's like legitimately why I didn't get it this time. I'm like, it's not bad enough, right? I don't really want to take that on and off every time I go to the bathroom and everyone be like, who's velcroing in the bathroom?
Yeah. That's awesome. Not awesome, but funny. Yeah.
The things you go through.
Yeah. I remember like Velcro. I like Velcro my like belt or my
belly band. Yeah.
And thankfully I have the one stall at work. So it was just like, I could be as loud as I needed to.
Freedom.
Yeah. So if you want to go into your birth story.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it was like, I had this confidence. I had been like reading, spending babies and like doing the daily practices, like not daily, but like doing them. I'm like walking a lot, trying to stay fit and everything. So I'm like, oh, my body knows what to do. It's going to be great. It's going to be fabulous. I knew my OB. I really liked him. I chose him from people that I work with. I watched how great he was with patients and I watched how great he was in surgery. And I was like, that's the one I want. Yeah, he's pretty great. And I decided to deliver at the hospital that I worked at because I felt like it was nice. And it was like small in a good way. Cause I just never felt like the nurses were just like overrun with patients. And it was just always a really nice, intimate feel. Obviously I like working there and I know the people on like run delivery because I do OB anesthesia. So it's like, I would work with them regularly. So they knew me and I knew them and I knew they'd kind of give me the VIP service. So yeah, I chose my OB because I worked with him. And like I said, I just really liked his personality, has a fabulous bedside manner. Like I'd watch him interact with patients for 2 years before I got pregnant. And he was a great surgeon, which now I'm like not really gonna purposely choose a surgeon, but he's great. He's a fabulous guy. And I was due at the end of June. And I remember every day that I went to work, 39 weeks on, I just remember being like, I'm still here. I'm still at work. And when I woke up on Monday morning, I was like fully prepared to like have to go to work again. But I woke up at 3 a.m. I was 39 and 5, and my underwear was damp, but it wasn't like obviously like super, super damp, like an obvious water breaking. So I was like, I don't know. I'd kind of had a false alarm on the water breaking the week before. I didn't go to the hospital for it or anything, but I was like, is this it? And it wasn't. So I was kind of reluctant again, but I got up and I like squatted down in the bathroom and I leaked for sure. And I was like, oh, this is not pee. So I went to the bathroom and I was just kind of continued to leak a little bit here and there. It wasn't like any, it was never an obvious gush at any point, but yep. So I was like, all right, well, my water's broken. 3 a.m. I got to call into work. They're going to have to cover for me. So I called my coworker boss friend and let him know that I was not going to be coming to work today, at least to do my job. I would be at work, but I would be upstairs in the labor and delivery farm. And he was like, oh, hi, dude, congratulations. That was great. And so I decided to let my husband sleep for a little while because in my like excited brain, I was like, okay, well, I know I need to go to the hospital soon because they say you should go when your water breaks. But I also don't really feel the need to wake him up at 3 a.m. There's no emergency here. I'm having rare irregular contractions and the bassinet sheets had just come in the mail yesterday. And I'm like, I have to wash these. She's going to sleep on these as soon as we get home. So I did a load of laundry while I'm like bouncing on my birthing ball and like measuring my contractions on my phone, like just timing them here and there. And they were pretty irregular, but like I could feel them. I'm like, okay. All right, this is good. Things are going. Things are moving. I had all this confidence, like, oh, going to be fabulous. And then eventually, I don't even really know where the time went because before I knew it, it was like 6:30. And I was like waking him up because I'm like, all right, we got to go to the hospital. My water broke. And he's, oh, okay. And so then I go down, I'm like putting the laundry in the dryer so that it's ready when we get home. And I'm like, making myself some breakfast. I'm like, okay, this could be my last like meal for a while. I need to eat something. So in true me fashion, because I think I ate peanut butter toast on the way to work every day that I was pregnant, or almost every day. I ate peanut butter toast. I'm like walking around, bouncing around. And like, man, why is my husband not downstairs yet? So I go up, I'm like, Matt, he's still in bed. I'm like, what are you doing? I gotta go. I just said I have to go to the hospital. My water broke. He's, oh. I thought you said we have time though. And I was like, what do you mean we have time? I've been since 3. I've been giving you time. You already got your time. He goes, oh, okay. And he had like semi-packed a bag. I packed my bag. We were ready to roll. So he hopped in the shower and finished packing his bag and we got out of there. Said goodbye to the dog for the last time as dog only parents and headed to the hospital, sat on a towel, but I leaked a little bit. It wasn't bad. Got there. Got checked in. My friends put me in the biggest room with the nice, pretty windows with the sun coming in. I'm like, all right, it's the day to have a baby.
Yeah.
And they sent me a couple times for IV. Eventually, they got it in. I was measuring 1, 50%, and -3. So I was like, all right, it's cool. Like, we got some work to do, but I also just got here. It all just happened. I also didn't know at the time that like a premature rupture of membranes before the start of labor could result in some wonky baby positioning. So foreshadowing, that happens. So I just kind of went about like, all right, I'm going to keep moving. I want to be up and moving as long as possible. As someone that does epidurals for a living, I was not against getting one by any means. I just wanted to like put it off as long as possible because I knew the longer I could stay mobile, the more I could help my labor progress. So I was on the ball for a while, ate some Jell-O. I was like, they started getting more difficult. My mom got there. They lived 2 hours away. So my mom drove up because I guess I didn't say the week before COVID restrictions were still in place at the hospital and you could only have one support person unless you also had a doula. Then you could have one like family support person. My husband was going to be the person, but then that week they had opened up to 2. So I was like, okay, mom, you can come in. We had decided that we wanted it to be just my husband and I for the actual delivery, but mom there for labor would be awesome. I didn't realize how hard my labor would be on my mom. She started to get, once the contraction started to get difficult for me, and not even like bad difficult yet, she was like, she felt so bad. And I get it. Like, it's probably really hard to see your own baby like in pain, right? And she'd be like, are you sure you're okay? And I'm like, yes, I'm okay. Like, I'm good now. That was the contraction. I'm better now. And I'm like bouncing around my ball and she's calling her family because she's like one of 6. true, like St. Louis Catholic family. She's like calling her family and she's like, yeah, she's amazing. Yep. She's doing great. She's bouncing around that ball. I don't know how she's doing it. Yep. She's doing great. Like, very early mom. I'm like, so eventually things are getting more difficult and whatever. So I'm like, all right, well, I think I want to get in the shower for a while. I think my nurse suggested that. So we did that. And I felt like that really helped. The hospital where I delivered does not have any birthing tubs or anything like that. So that wasn't really an option, but the shower is very helpful. So I bounced on the ball in the shower for a while. My husband kind of would shoot the little shower head like right at my back. We'll say I wish that I'd made him do more like support education. I made the mistake of saying several times during the pregnancy, like, hey, I really want you to look up ways that you can support me during labor. I just want you to do that at some point. And I'd remind him and he'd be like, oh yeah, I'll do that. And then the day comes and I'm like, hey, did you look any of those up? Cause I could really use something. And he's like, no, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't, but yeah, I can shoot the shower head. Okay, cool.
I'd be like, great. Okay, you better get on Google that right now.
Exactly. I ended up doing that actually. And he found something which I expected him to be like, yeah, I learned these hip squeezes on this video. Or, hey, I learned how to do counter pressure on your sacrum. No. He said, okay, there's this thing that says if I pinch your third and fourth toe rhythmically. What? But at this point, I'm like, I just want anything. So I'm like, well, that was a little bit later, I guess, because at that in the shower, he was not pinching my feet on the ground, but in the shower, he was helpful with the shower head or whatever and like shooting at my back. They're like, hey, your physician's back and he'll check you. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, let's see if we've got anything here. And he checks me and he's like, yeah, okay, you're 3 centimeters now. And I'm like, okay, feels like I should be farther, but okay. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to go get back in that shower then, knowing that there's more work to be done here. So we get in the shower and going for it. And I just remember after that, things just got even more intense and just being like shivering in the shower. I guess probably the hormonal shivers and the adrenaline and everything. And just not being able to get comfortable and just finally kind of giving in and being like, okay, I think I could do the epidural now. I've been laboring now from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. like super consistently. I'm going to get the epidural now. So I was like, I told my nurse, I was like, all right, you can call my coworker. I was like, you can call him now. I'm ready. And man, he must have been waiting for the call because he was up there before I even had my bra on because I'd been like naked in the shower laboring. And my mom's like, help me put the bra on. And I was like, no, do not come in.
Can't come back from that.
No, you can't come back from that. One downside of laboring where you work, because if you have a male anesthesia team, yeah, they might see things at some point that you don't want them to see. And of course, yeah. My luck, every single one of my anesthesia providers during my 36-hour labor was a male. So that was great. But I love them. They're like brothers to me, but still a little, you don't want them to see certain things. So yeah, he got in there really quickly. I sat on the edge of the bed and my husband was doing this whole counter pressure thing. And I'm like, oh, thank God, that's super helpful. It actually like surprisingly was. Okay. And I remember just being like super intrigued during the procedure by what was going on because I do them all the time. And I talk them through people all the time. Like, hey, this is what you're going to feel. Hey, you're going to feel the numbing medicine go in. It's going to make the rest of the procedure more comfortable. And so many people say that's the worst part for them. I didn't even notice it. I guess because you're so focused on the contractions, but like, I didn't even notice that initial local go in. And then I remember feeling like it passed through. And if anybody gets uncomfortable thinking about needles or talking about needles, I could feel the needle passing through things that I knew it was going to be passing through and being like, oh, that feels weird. Because I knew where it was.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. He's like, kind of move things around. And then eventually got it in really, really quickly. I was very impressed. And I just remember being like, oh, so that's what that feels like. All right. I feel like I can explain it even better now, like to people. But
yeah.
So then it worked. It was great. I was also still in relatively early labor. I don't know exactly what I was, but they checked me right after that. And I was a 4. So I was probably roughly a 4 when I got it. So still kind of in early labor. And I remember like being like, oh, I am so comfortable. This is so great. I'm going to try to nap. Because I always tell my patients, like, this is the time to nap. Mm-hmm. Things are going to get, at the very least, you're going to feel a lot more pressure later. It's going to be time to push. Save your energy. Try to nap now. I really wish I would have taken my own advice. Because then I was using that time to update people. Because I hadn't been on my phone for a while. Because I was like so uncomfortable and just like really focusing on the labor process. Then I'm like, oh, my phone. And all my friends are like, oh, my God, how's it going? And I feel the need to respond to them. I'm not doing that next time. So all my friends, I love you so much, but I'm not doing play-by-plays at any point during the labor. Because I remember being like, wow, I really should have napped because now things are getting intense, especially once they came in and they checked and they were like, well, the physician on that night was not my normal OB, but it was obviously an OB that I knew and trusted really well. I've been doing it for a very long time, very experienced, but he's also a little dry. He's just, well, you're still a 4. I don't remember. I think I was like 60% of face, something like that. And now that I know more, I know that a lot of times as a first time mom, a lot of that like initial labor is really focused on the effacement. It takes a lot longer to efface as a first time mom. And so I just remember being like, oh, still a 4. Oh my God. But I did all that work. But so then he was like, I think we should augment with Pitocin. Your epidural is probably making your contractions a little less strong on their own. They were still every 2 to 3 minutes, but they just probably weren't the level of intensity, or at least now that I know what I know, I probably wasn't moving as much and I probably wasn't helping baby put enough pressure on the cervix and change positions and all that. So they were like, let's augment with Pit. And I'm like, okay, all right, that's fine. We got to have a baby at some point. Plus I kind of knew I was on a time clock, having come in with ruptured membranes at 3 a.m. Some hospitals will limit you to 24 hours ruptured. Mine never said that, but I knew still that anytime that happens, you're kind of on a time clock. So
yeah,
I was like, all right, yeah, let's get this going. My epidural is working. Let's do it. And once Pitocin started, it was like a whole different labor, because even with my epidural, like I could feel those contractions. So finally, I kind of pressed my button for a little bit more medicine. But of course, I'm overthinking it the whole time. Oh, I don't want to make myself too numb because I don't want to. And obviously, I was not thinking about not being able to push because that was not anywhere near time. But in my mind, I was just afraid to make myself too numb, which now like I realize how totally naive that was. But at some point they did end up calling my coworker because pushing my button when I did do it still just wasn't enough to get my pain under control. So he came up, gave me something a little stronger, and that worked, and that was great. But it was like any time that dose that he gave me would start to wear off, I would feel it entirely on my left. So it's like the epidural worked right on my right. The right side of my uterus and perineum were completely comfortable. My right leg was super heavy, but everything on my left was like very much in pain still. So it was like, it got to be, I think, midnight or so. And finally I asked him to give him a call again. And he came back and he was like, dude, you don't have to wait this long. I'm like, I know, but I really didn't want to bother you. Like, I know how much it sucks to get up in the middle of the night. Like, I do this for a living too. And he was like, no, I got you. So he gave me some more. And then I think, let me look at my notes here. So at that point, let's see, that was about 10 p.m. That was like everything on from there was just a total blur. Then I just kind of kept laboring. They were like flip-flopping me back and forth in bed. And there's fun positions called like runners and something with a flying cowgirl. I don't know. There were a lot of things. And I was still, oh, sure, keep doing that.
Yeah.
And I do, looking back now, so much of a blur that I can't critique times or anything, but I know that it was not every 3 to 5 contractions, which like now they say, now that I'm on all these like natural birth pages and stuff, they're like, you should be changing positions every 3 to 5 contractions. I'm like, that's a little unrealistic, right? But so I tell people like all the time, I'm like, hey, just because you have an epidural doesn't mean you can't move around. Ask them to move as much as you want. You need to be moving regularly. Even if you're not asking them to move you, you can just have whatever position your leg's in, basically ask your significant other or your mom or whatever, do a hip circle with your leg for you. Like you can't move it, but they can. You moving that leg is going to open that pelvis. It's just going to help baby come down. Do that every once in a while.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be a massive movement. It can be just moving that hip joint a little.
Yeah. I just kept flipping side to side, which I heard helps like the epidural get to each side.
Yeah.
New things.
And I remember doing that too, but I remember like also preferentially staying towards the left a lot because of how uncomfortable I was on the left, because I knew gravity would help that medicine go to the left. And then I think it was around 12:45, baby's heart rate started having some decelerations. And I remember the nurses coming in and they were like changing my position really quickly and they stopped the Pitocin. And I'd only ever been on a really low dose because they didn't really need to give me very much. I'd started having some tachysystole earlier in the night, which is where you have contractions too close together. And at the time, baby was tolerating it just fine. But it was A, very uncomfortable. And B, over time, when you have contractions too close together, baby doesn't have enough time to recover in between, because when your uterus is contracting, it's decreasing the amount of blood flow to the baby through the placenta significantly. They're coming too close together. Baby's not getting enough blood flow. Baby's not getting enough oxygen. So they came in and had turned it down. So at this point, it was a little later. I was on just a low dose, but they stopped it and they bolused me some fluid to kind of help like wash out that pit. The U cells stopped. And then they checked me because sometimes certain B cells, as I'm sure you guys know, are related to the baby's head position. So they can be a sign that you're making change. They told me it was 9% or 9 centimeters and 100% of face. So I was like, I don't even remember being excited is the sad thing. Like it was all such a blur. Like I don't even remember that happening if I hadn't gone back and looked at my nurse's notes. Like I remember them coming in and all the flip-flopping, but I don't remember like being excited or being like, yay, I'm almost done. Like I just, but baby was a zero station at that point. I knew I'd made like some real progress and that the pain was worth it. It's fine. It was great. And my husband was probably awake at that point, maybe got woken up, probably. I remember him being like, I remember certain things. There was a lot of couch sleeping at that point was when I was really going through it. So at that point, the OBGYN informed me that he was just going to stay in-house thanks to all the excitement that I was creating with the D-cells and being close. So that was like 12:45 in the morning. At some point, around 20, like 1:20 or so, my nurse came back to check in on me again and found me like really having to breathe through my contractions because they were super uncomfortable on the left. I remember just like leaning into the side rail and just being like so tense and trying to like relax myself and breathe and waking my husband up with my like attempts at breathing through. She went ahead and pressed my button for me and called the CRNA one more time. And he came up some more stuff, dosed me up, got me comfortable. I felt so needy at this point because we had joked my whole pregnancy, me and my coworkers, that they were just going to hand me a bottle of 2% lidocaine and just be like, all right, you can just dose yourself whenever you need it. And I was like, honestly, totally would have been on board with that, but probably not legal. Yeah. I don't know. I guess things got better. And I think I napped like on and off here and there after that for a little bit. So that was good. And then it learned 4 a.m. I don't remember being told, but according to notes, like I was told I was completely dilated. And I was just like, it's so weird to me that I like look back on that and don't remember it because I've listened to so many birth stories. And I can just picture myself being so excited someday when that happens. And then I'm like, wait, that did happen to me. And I don't remember it. Like Laborland is a real thing.
Yeah.
Whether you have an epidural or not. Like,
for sure.
I remember being told that, but I remember them sitting me up. And they're just putting me in the throne position. So I was sitting straight up. And they dropped the leg of the bed so that it was almost like I was sitting on a chair. And they positioned me so that my knees were turned in and my ankles were turned out because, and it seems so counterintuitive, but it actually opens the bottom of the pelvis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that closed knee position helps turn your sits bones like outwards and open that bottom of your pelvis. And so I'm like, at the time, I didn't know that. I thought that was super cool. And so I sat like that for, I don't know, a while. I don't know. If you can only remember so much and you can only look back at nursing notes so much. But at some point, again, at 5, after laboring down for a bit, I started getting really uncomfortable again, all on my left side. And I decided to use my anesthesia brain and be like, hey, coworker, can you please pull my epidural back 1 centimeter? Because that's what I would do to fix someone's one-sided epidural. He did that and he dosed me and then it was fabulous. And I'm like, oh man, why didn't I say this earlier? So he dosed me up and I got comfortable and that was good because then 45 minutes later at 5:50, they were like, all right, I think we're ready to start pushing. And I was like, oh, okay. I just like suddenly was like not tired anymore. I was not even remotely tired. I was just like so excited. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I'm going to need my baby suit. Give me the mirror. I want the mirror. Like, I remember being like, yeah, give me the mirror.
That's awesome.
I remember asking for the squat bar because I thought that'd be really cool to get a more like dependent position and to help, you know, gravity work with me. And I remember her going to get it, trying to put on the bed and then realizing like the connector was broken so that we couldn't use it. I remember being so bummed about that. And I still am. But so we started pushing. The OBGYN came in that was on the overnight that day and he came in and he was like, all right, I'm going to watch you do a practice push so we can kind of see how this is looking. So I did one. He said that my pushing effort was great. He could actually see her moving down with each push that I generated. And I was like, okay, great. This is great. Yeah, let's do this. And he said that he could tell, though, from her head positioning when he checked me that she seemed asynclitic. And I had never heard of this word before. Even working at OB, I was like, why? She's what? And he said, it's a malposition in which the head is tilted as it's coming through the pelvis. It's as instead of baby coming straight down with their crown kind of hitting in through the ischial spines, the head is kind of turned towards the shoulder. So it's coming at a much larger circumference area there. So it's harder to fit baby through the canal at that angle. I was like, okay, he didn't explain it quite like that. I've done that research. But I asked, okay, well, is this going to make pushing longer? And he said, in true this guy fashion. It could, but so could the fact that you're a first-time mom and that you have an epidural. So we'll just see what happens. I'm like, okay. So he left the room and I was like, all right, we're going to get to work. And she stood on one side and then she told her husband to stand on the other side. And he was like thoroughly confused because we had talked about this, he and I. And he was like, yeah, I think I want to be by your head. I was like, you want to be by your head or down low? Or like, what do you want to do? He's like, I think I want to be by your head. And she was like, grab a leg. Great, grab a leg, Matt. And he was like, no, I don't think, I don't know. Do I need to? And she said, no, you're taking one leg and I'm taking the other. And so just at 6 a.m., the pushing began. Matt at one leg, a little bit bewildered at what he was seeing. And my nurse had the other one coaching me, you know, with the ready, hold your breath, bear down, count to 10. I was under the impression that I was doing it correctly because they told me they could see the baby moving. So I'm like, okay, I'll just keep doing that. And so they were like, okay, with each contraction, we're going to do 3 counts of 10. So do that. And then they were like, if you want, you can add in a 4th. And so every single time I was adding in a 4th, because I'm like, well, I know first time mom pushing can take a long time. And I just want to do this. I just want to give my all and get her here. So I kept doing that. And then I, like the large full length mirror is like there. And I'm just like waiting to see her head. I don't think I could ever see her head, but I know they could just kept commenting on how dark her hair was. And I remember being like, of course. I'm very, anyone that can't see, obviously, I have very blonde hair and my husband is a brunette. So I just remember being, oh, okay, already she's coming out looking more like you. It's great.
Yeah.
And so yeah, the mirror was great motivation. And I was like, okay, at some point I'm going to see her. At some point I'm going to see her. And then my doctor came on for the day at 7:30. So at this point I've been pushing for like right at an hour and a half. He had a scheduled C-section that morning. So he came to check on me before. And basically he reiterated exactly what the other doctor had said about how great my expulsive efforts were, as I say, and that he could like feel her coming down while pushing. And he did also say she seemed asynclitic. So he actually attempted to turn her internally with my next contraction. Epidural was working great, so it didn't bother me at all. And I remember just being like, okay, hope that worked. Great. And then so I just kind of went back to pushing again. He went to do his C-section and I was just kind of, and this is where I think that a doula would have been like invaluable. Because when the squat bar was like out of the question, apparently it was just like pushing on my back was like the only thing, I guess. And in my mind, despite spinning babies and all that, I feel like you like all of your logical thinking and your plan, like kind of like for me, kind of went out the window whenever it was like go time. And like, I was trying so hard to get the baby out. Yeah. Like you just go to a very primal place and you're just like, go. And you're literally banging my kid's head against a wall, which was like my right pelvis, because after like 2 more hours of pushing, I could physically feel her head rubbing against my right pelvic bone. Like I knew that she had to have been like off center because I'm like, this epidural is working great, except I have all this pain right here in this one spot on the right part on my right pelvis. And rather than anyone being like, okay, let's try some left side lying pushing, it was just like, oh, okay, well, let's keep pushing. And now I'm like, why didn't we change things something up? At one point, a very experienced nurse came in. I think I'd been like pushing for 3 hours at this point. She was like, what if we try all 4? And I'm like, oh my God, why didn't I think of this? Because again, spinning babies taught me that all 4 is great for helping babies turn to get into a better position. But I didn't remember these things.
Yeah.
We get up on all 4s. My epidural was trying to move myself, and then with their help and Matt's help, got up on all 4s. I remember doing that for a couple of contractions and just being like, my arms kind of fatiguing. I wish we would have propped my arms up more too, to kind of like give gravity use a little bit of gravity to kind of help her descend. But I remember after a couple of contractions, just being like, guys, I think it's actually more uncomfortable. I think it hurts more. And they're like, oh, okay, let's go back to that. So I go back to that. In retrospect, I wish I would have made myself last there longer because I think it could have helped her turn. Maybe that was what was making it more uncomfortable. I don't know. But so we go back to my back. Well, in the time that I had been up on all 4s, because I was kind of like downwards on my arms rather than upwards in a more like gravity assisting position, the medicine in my epidural had kind of traveled up to a more cephalad portion. So basically up my back. And so it wasn't really where it needed to be anymore. It was not in my sacrum, which is where all of that pain and pressure is when you're delivering a baby. And when you go from having a functioning epidural to just no pain blockage anymore, it's a lot more intense than if you didn't have one from the beginning, because your body naturally is ramping up these endorphins, right? Like with each contraction, you're getting your oxytocin, you're getting your endorphins. Your body and your brain are not communicating anymore when you got that epidural. And then all of a sudden the epidural's gone and you just feel everything. And we're just being like horrible. And so they, unfortunately, the CRNA, my coworker that would have come to give me more medicine, was in the C-section. And we only have one on OB at a time. So he couldn't come. So they were like, what do we do? And he was like, well, let me see if I can get anyone down from the OR. So he calls down to the person I had called into my boss the day before. And he's like, hey, do you have any free time? Caitlin really needs like a dose upstairs. Like her epidural is not working anymore. And he was like, yeah, I got you. So he runs up and he gives me a nice little cocktail in my epidural of stuff that I had, a similar cocktail I had been giving women recently that was showing fabulous results. And he was just like, yeah, that's your cocktail. I was like, oh, sweet. I know it works. Because wow, it worked. All of a sudden I had an epidural. So yep, went back to pushing again once I was comfortable again. And I will say, like, at one point I was just so in so much pain, I'm like crying. And one of the really experienced nurses was like, Caitlin, I want you to change something up because that's clearly this isn't working and you're not comfortable right now. And we don't know when you're going to get comfortable. I want you to try to push through the pain because I know it sounds weird, but sometimes it's actually really relieving. And I was like, oh, okay. So I focused on actually pushing through, and it was true. It made it less uncomfortable. It was like less painful when I would actually just work with my body rather than tense up against it. I try to remember that. Epidural, I'm better. Okay, so I'm pushing again and pushing again and pushing again. I guess at some point there was a switchover in nursing staff during pushing. My night nurse had stayed as long as she really could. I think it got to be like 2 hours past her shift and she really needed to go home. Yeah, she was holding on for me. And the day nurse took over. And I know all these people. And I had never obviously been taken care of by them before. And I will say, I felt like the change in like the atmosphere when this nurse took over was palpable. It was like, because after my OBGYN finished the first C-section, he came in and he had checked me and he's like, all right, well, I have to say, you haven't actually made any progress. Baby's still at zero. I can see her come down to plus two every time you push. And then she goes right back up. And I'm like, okay. I'm just like, so I think we need to start thinking soon about what else we might need to do. And so he's hinting at a C-section without saying a C-section. And at this point, I've just had enough. And I'm like, are you telling me that I have to have a C-section?
Tune in next week for part two of Caitlin's birth story. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Golden Hour Birth Podcast. We'll link Caitlin's socials in the show notes if you want to connect with her. And follow Natalie and I as well. If you enjoyed this week's episode, please share it with a friend and give us a 5-star rating and review. See you next episode.